terminology of activating that area. That's exactly what I look forward to. Right now, the area around the island, that whole corner, nothing is going on there. I mean, it's just, to me, kind of a dead zone. So when I look at, you know, the design and I see the possibility of people being able to sit out there with coffee and just hang out there, I think that's going to do a lot for the community. I do agree and think it's absolutely crucial that it be in perpetuity publicly available. That is something that would concern me. So I would want to know that. And I'd like them to take care of the plaza and just keep it clean.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you, Council. My name is Joe Adamski, and I, too, am a St. John's resident and have been active in local and community organization groups and efforts for quite some time. I have been as passionate supporting the vacation as some of other voices have been against the vacation. It comes from a point that we both care about this place greatly. I don't know that the pros and the con groups speak for the entire community. I think we are a small group, but we have a shared love of the place, though I sometimes think we're misdirected hanging on to a piece of something when we're forgetting those other elements of the community, such as schools, parks, safe sidewalks, you know, the home laundry list of the things that we enjoy living in St. John's. I'm testifying today to support the vacation of the traffic island. I believe that the benefits of the intersection redesign and the creation of a gateway far outstrip any concerns about a perceived giving away of land to a developer. This is not a free lunch for the developer. The city is gaining the benefit of a needed intersection design. The community is gaining that gateway and that improved pedestrian access to the business district. And the business district is getting another asset in that collective piece of the downtown St. John's area. So on that note, I think we're kind of cutting off our nose to spite our face with getting into battles. I think as a group, as the two different groups, we need to coalesce and find out the things we value. But let's not fight over this vacation. I think that's the wrong thing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Silver Boo, and I have lived in St. John's for 4 years. I moved here because of the small town atmosphere and the St. John's Bridge. I have been meeting with the people of St. John's at Ivy Island to discuss the situation involved with the vacation of Ivy Island. In order to better inform the people of St. John's, we have been passing out flyers regarding this matter. I have been on Richmond giving flyers to folks who roll down their windows to learn what we are doing there. Most of these travelers have no idea what is going on with this wonderful oasis from the hurly-burly noise of the surrounding paved roads and brick buildings. The ones who are somewhat informed are outraged that anyone would consider rearrangement of Lombard as it moves traffic easily into St. John's Business District and affords the pleasure of a gateway viewing 9 established trees and colorful heavenly bamboo among waving grasses and Oregon grapes. Not all of our citizens know what vacation of Ivy Island involves. Some have heard about it and think the apartments will be built across the street behind the fenced area. They do not get why the city of Portland should give up this space for underground parking. After speaking with many people, the most asked questions are, why do they plan this structure without available parking on site? Where do restaurants and other new businesses park? How do the major changes affect St. John's? Why upset the unique setting that this lovely island affords St. John's? It is our gateway. Not all the people renting at Marvel 29 park in the underground parking of that building. They park on the surrounding streets and make a lot of people upset. What is wrong with this picture? My big question is, how will the TriMet buses be able to go around the corner on Richmond? Just from observing the width of the turning radius they now make, how can they make this turn on a two-way street? I understand that TriMet is making new buses 45 feet in length. Has that been included in this plan? It has been said that the slip lane is dangerous. I was nearly hit by a car on Lombard at Alta a few weeks ago. It is possible to put up speed bumps, flashing lights, and create crosswalks.
Ma'am, if you could just wrap up, please.
That costs a lot less than rerouting the entire entry to our sweet little river city.
By the way,
thank you for listening.
We are making notes as we're hearing testimony, and the questions that you're posing, we'll have a chance to ask staff at the end. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carla, would you please call the next three?
Are Richard Tennant, Susan Tennant, and Heather Tennant, and they'll be followed by Gary Boehm, John Petty, and Kelly Tadlock.
Hi, my name is Richard Tennant, and I'm a member of the St. John's community, and this is my wife, my mother-in-law, my granddaughter, and my daughter. And what I wanted to tell you and inform you today is that I'm a member of the St. John's Heritage Society, and we were not informed of any of this. I didn't know any of the details of Ivy Island until John Tepley raised my attention by an article written in the St. John's Review. In the article, John explained that others might want to attend a meeting at the St. John's Neighborhood Association in order to voice our opinions. Susan, my wife, and I attended. During the course of the meeting, we both felt discouraged because the officials typified this project as being a done deal. I had just learned about the Ivy Island transfer, yet it was a done deal. I bring testimony to the City Council about the lack of relevant information that would ensure the proper input that might help us build a foundation. A foundation is a base or basis upon which something stands or is supported. If an architect wants to build a wants a building to stand, an engineering study must be the first step. In a large project, a foundation is actually begun in the science of planning. The community is both the aggregate and can be the bond if the formula of strength, mass, and informational science is applied. A foundation is also a legal term. The lack of foundation is a valid objection that an adverse party may raise during a trial. I am here to tell you that a proper foundation was absent during the public input avenue towards this process. There was a proposal made and a bargain struck that seemed hidden and out of sequence. Someone offered a piece of property for sale in lieu of payment of signal lights. In any bargain, there is a movement between the seller and buyer, and a benefit of the bargain is struck between them. The buyer spends funds based upon the transfer of property which generated an engineering detail. I believe it was only as after this bargain was struck, the other ingredients of public notification input were talked about.
Thank you.
Thank you. I humbly present myself and wish all people here peace and love and good health. Thank you. I am against the removal of the island, and I speak in behalf of the children also at James John School who will get the traffic coming out. They just put new green, a little greenness, so they can have soccer on the trees, and so this has an impact. The trucks are not speeding through town at maximum speeds and above because they go a different direction. I also want to say that the conduct of this whole process, somebody mentioned two neighborhood associations, two neighbors Main Street. The public had absolutely none. And this conduct is unbecoming to the City of Portland, Department of Transportation, Main Street, St. John's, and the Association and the Development Commission. Lack of transparency for over 14,000 people is bad. When a Bureau of Transportation can call a developer and make a deal of real property belonging to the city and the people of St. John's for a developer service in exchange for property, and that developer acts on that as a conveyance to others and altering his plan. And then when that developer goes to the neighborhood association, puts in a call, I have a deadline. I need to know if you're for me or against me. They put in an electronic vote. And we don't know what day, what time, but it's illegal. And he gives that support. And that is not fair. And then when we come to the meeting in early fall, and there's 80 people in the chair says, hey, It's a done deal. Okay. Now, the gateway at Marvel is one of the worst. We heard that earlier. You go to your Vision Zero Portland crash, and you will see this bomb. And you will look at the other area. Now, go down to Ivy. Not Ivy. You go to Ida McDonald's, the other gateway, and you'll see one tree with a fence around it. That's a gateway for them. Now, these contributors of Marvel Island to Main Street, Marvel Island, that to Main Street, and Fred Meyers and New Season, we're going to have the next bomb, and the traffic is going to be right at the corner of Union.
Ma'am, thank you very much.
Mark my words.
I missed your name. Could you give me again,
please? My name is Susan T. Tennant, W-T-E-N-N-A-N-T.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I welcome the youngest member of the audience who is here to testify.
Absolutely, and probably our eldest.
There you go. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. My name is Heather Tennant, and this is my 91-year-old grandmother, and this is my 4-year-old daughter, and I'm here to speak against the removal of Ivy Island. We have had 5 generations of St. John's and North Portland family. 4 generations, including grandmother, that are living, and grandmother herself has lived in St. John's for a little over 65 years. I live with my grandmother 4 days a week, taking care of her in St. John's. Grandma was also a part of the Shirley Ann Fund for the local fire department. My grandmother also helped to save the St. John's Library. She gathered neighbors, including Boy Scouts, school children, to stop its removal by protesting. So we come from a protesting family. My grandfather used to whistle and tap dance in the St. John's Theater that is still in St. John's. But the reason why I'm here is to say that our Ivy Island, St. John's is such a small community. We have great people, we have history, we have roots. I would ask that you guys take a drive through St. John's and you'll see how quaint and how lovely our community is. We may be a small community, but we stick together. We were not notified of publicly in regards to the removal of Ivy Island. I, like so many other here that you will hear testimony still, and the ones that have given their testimony, we were not given any form of adequate awareness, and that's too bad. 4-story buildings don't meet what you see when you enter St. John's. Just because you have money and you claim that you're a good person doesn't mean that we should trust you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And what do you have to say? Save Ivy Island. You know, say save our...
Save Ivy Island.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's the best testimony today.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I'm pretty sure that during my 7 years, we have all at least once a year convened for one of our favorite events, which is the St. John's Parade.
Thank you.
We all proudly...
President of St. John's Parade.
Yeah, I think everybody here... I don't think anyone's missed it, and I think it's, I can speak for myself, it's one of the highlights of the year.
Thank you.
One of the best parades in Portland.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And if the street vacation is approved, I'm assuming that the parade would make the corner rather than cutting across the plaza, or have you thought about that?
We don't know. That's a good question. Thank you for asking.
Is Grandma speaking, or is she just here?
No, Grandma's here in support.
Thank you very much.
I didn't want to say too much.
You'd be considered young in my family. My grandfather lived to 102.
Wow. Congratulations.
So, well, thank you for taking the time, all 3 generations.
Thank you.
Carla, can you call the next 3?
Yes, the next 3 are Gary Boehm, John Petty, and Kelly Tadlock. And they will be followed by Judy Briner, Dana McErlean, and Clinton Doxey.
Okay. Welcome.
Hi.
Would you like to kick it off?
Sure. I have this thing I'm going to read, and I'm going to try to make it in 2 minutes here.
Okay.
So might be a little speed reading. My name's Kelly Tadlock, and I've lived in St. John's for the last 15 years, I think. And dear mayor and commissioners, here are the issues in a nutshell. The strongest pro-Beluri development to vacate Ivy Island position is the safety issue at Charleston. From this point of view, the only way to solve the safety issue is to remove the Lombard slip lane and square the corner with a traffic light. PBOT will not pay to do this. To have a developer to do this and trade in order to build on Ivy Island is a bonus. The city will privatize public property in this scenario. According to PBOT, there have been 7 accidents at this corner between 2004 and 2013. Pro-vacate Ivy Islanders say that the number of accidents is excessive and creates an urgency that only the Beluri development will remedy. The St. John's Lombard plan is the authority for this traffic reconfiguration. The safety issue of the Richmond Lombard horizontal blind curve by the storage facilities is irrelevant. Save Ivy Island will argue that its safety issue at Charleston, it's a safety issue at Charleston, not an issue of the slip lane. As a safety issue, we can break it down into components. 1, blind curve. 2, vehicle speed. 3, walkability. 4, pedestrian crossing. We can work on and make each component safer. When talking about safety, the conversation usually begins with the blind curve. Save Ivy Island would work with the developer to improve the sight line, make the blind curve a sighted curve by moving it back 6 feet. Curb extensions are already planned, which adds another 3 to 4 feet of visibility. The PBOT safety audit of 2011 had many low-cost solutions that weren't implemented.
Ma'am, if you could just wrap up.
Okay, sorry. The Charleston 7 corner is not inordinately unsafe. According to the crash map, it is as safe as Chicago 7, Baltimore at Lombard 7, and Levitt, which is very dangerous, in my opinion.
Ma'am, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for testimony. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. My name is Gary Beam. I had served as the president of the St. John's Boosters from October 1996 through December of 2009. In that capacity, I did participate in the St. John's Lombard planning effort. That, and personally, I've been impacted by the gentrification of St. John's. I don't support this proposal for a lot of reasons. Some of it is due to the lack of affordable housing that the St. John's Lombard plan calls for. This development does not indicate any affordable housing. Additionally, the claim of safety at the North Charleston and North Lombard intersection may be valid, but in my opinion, it's short-sighted. There is significant information out there through the intersection safety audit of North Richmond and North Jersey that indicate that the slip lane can be made safe through narrowing the entrance of it, appropriate signage, cleaning up the street clutter that exists, and additionally it points out to with something that's called a horizontal blind curve coming westbound as you round the corner for the storage facility that's there. They do not recommend the northern crosswalk crossing from the island because that is a safety issue. Additionally, if you go to the PBOT website and look up the Vision Zero Traffic Injury Fatality from 2004 to 2013, the Charleston-Lombard intersection has very little pedestrian bicycle interaction. One or two bikes have interacted there and no pedestrians. Throughout the commercial district, there are larger pedestrian issues than simply wiping out the blind curve, claiming that they're going to make the Charleston-Lombard intersection safer. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your many years of service. Sir.
Hello, Commissioners. My name is John Petty. I've been a resident of St. John's for 10 years. I worked as a city planner, urban designer for 45 years prior to that. And I moved here because I love the green weather that we have. This gateway we were talking about, Ivy Island, is one of two that were built in St. John's something like 25 to 30 years ago. One at the foot of the bridge, and then the other one here at Ivy Island, where this where we're talking about the slip lane. The Lombard plan very explicitly says there's a safety issue here that needs to be addressed, and it proposes a new interchange for that purpose. But it also is very explicit in saying that the right-of-way that's vacated by the slip lane should be used to provide for a great visual gateway into St. John's and not to be occupied by a building. The building that's proposed would occur over the right-of-way line by several feet. I would suggest that a way to approach this would be for the building to be restricted to being on the private property, that even though PBOT says there will never be any money to spend, public money to spend on this, that, you know, there are always fundraising mechanisms. Although PBOT says that any mitigations to the slip lane, as suggested in professional literature, would just be Band-Aids, I would suggest that it's been several years now that this hazard has been recognized, and to date, there have been no mitigations to try and save someone who happened to be caught out in that slip lane. I would suggest that the building being back and slip lane remaining open, mitigated until the money is there, and then the new interchange can be built and the new gateway can be done on top of what the slip lane used to be.
Sir, thank you very much for your testimony. Carla, the next three, please.
Are Judy Briner, Dana McErlean, and Clinton Doxey. And they'll be followed by Tom Karwacki, Joshua Leslie, and Tom Stubblefield.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
Ma'am, would you kick us off?
Sure. Thank you for having us here today. I really appreciate it. I am a relatively newcomer to St. John's, which means I've only lived there for 15 years. That means I'm new, pretty new still. I moved there from Northwest Portland. I lived on Northwest 21st for 6 years. And I thought there needed to be many changes in St. John's when I moved there. I never, ever thought, let's start tearing things down. I never said, thought, let's tear a building down, let's tear this down, let's just completely change the neighborhood. I never thought about that. I just hoped that restaurants and different people would take over buildings that were already there. We have lots of empty spaces in St. John's now that have never been filled. So I feel that if Ivy Island was taken away and the building built there, we would lose a lot of the character of St. John's, lots of it. And I just saw pictures today of what it would look like. We all saw those. And I want to say that not only could that building be anywhere in Portland, it could be anywhere in the world. That building has nothing to do with St. John's at all. It could be anywhere. It's generic, completely generic. It looks very pretty, but it has nothing to do with St. John's. I also want to point out that because a lot of time has been spent on getting this building approved, that doesn't make it right. Just because the amount of time that's spent on it does not make it the right thing to do. And I just want to say that as a voter, I am really hoping that we look for new and inventive ways to cure or to get ready for all the people that are moving here. Obviously, we're going to have very high density. We all know that. We're not arguing with that. But we need to save the character of our neighborhoods while we're doing this. We just need to be more creative about it.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Welcome.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Dana McErlean. My address is 7525 North Richmond Avenue. I have lived and worked in St. John's and North Portland for 20 years, opening 8 businesses during that time, including The Colony, which is adjacent to the proposed Union development. I am heavily interested in the neighborhood and committed to see its residents and businesses thrive. I'm here to request that the City Council only approve a vacation of the entire portion of North Lombard Street right-of-way as was originally proposed and notice to the public, and not the partial vacation proposed before you this afternoon. Fairly considering the community, the city, my and the petitioner's interest, I am opposed to the partial vacation as presented. At the time of my previous public testimony, I stated I was in favor of the entire vacation conditioned by discussion with the petitioner regarding cooperation between us as adjoining property owners. These good faith discussions were terminated by the petitioner when he became aware that the city initiated and requested partial vacation would circumvent the need for any further cooperation between us and that he would be able to obtain the property through an encroachment easement. Although the cost of the vacation and the proposed improvements presented in this hearing are very attractive, they do not reflect the visual magnitude and monetary value solely benefiting the petitioner. The gateway to St. John's will be the gateway to the Union development. Under no uncertain terms, the Union will encroach with structure and presence into what is legally currently a public property. This monetary mechanism should not marginalize procedures or interested parties' rights. This is a valuable community asset is being traded for short-term improvement costs. Traffic safety as a result of the right-of-way vacation and sidewalk and road realignment should be examined more cautiously, and it is in more detail.
Thank you very much.
Semi-trucks turning ability are tight, I'm almost done, at the dense urban and pedestrian intersection and crossing and may be dangerously inadequate. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thanks very much.
I just have a question. Yeah. You own the colony, which is right here, right?
Yes.
Which is this one, colleagues, the white space. So this proposal would be quite different if that Plaza 2 were vacated also, and then you would get some of that property at
least.
That
is correct. And I have done title search work that states that it would be very clear that it would revert back to my property from historic records, which they had stated early that they were unable to find proof of that.
And potentially a future, if that is the case, and I don't know whether it is or not, but a future property owner could petition to vacate that plaza too.
I could.
And then you could develop it or whatever.
I could.
So I think that that's an important point, colleagues, because this site plan is premised on Plaza 2 contributing a fairly large amount of open space that eases the amount of the magnitude of the development on the proposed site plan.
On that site as well lives my signage, my frontage to Lombard, which will be taken down and not, put back up. It's a sign that's been there for 30 years.
We'll have staff come back.
Yeah, that's. I was wondering about that because that's really the sight line to your property.
It is.
And the accessway is
off. And I think that the proposed design really just creates a buffer zone between me and the plaza. It really isn't incorporating my property or any idea of future development that may happen at some point, which would be my intention, at some point in time.
And your signage is currently in the area that's designated as
Plaza
2. Yes,
it comes about 10 to 15 feet, or it's within 10 feet. And the petitioner and I had been in communications and negotiations, and he terminated them. I had responded, and he did not respond. I had gotten in touch with him numerous times with very reasonable, counter negotiations. But
we can't get into
that. Sorry about
that. I appreciate knowing some more of the background because obviously in a street vacation process, the adjacent property owners have a particular interest, and so I really appreciate you taking time to be here.
Yes, I would like to continue the dialogue if possible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, sir.
Hello, President Fish, commissioners. Thank you for the time. My name is Clinton Doxey. I live at 8540 North Charleston Avenue, two blocks away from the intersection at Lombard, where the proposal will affect that particular intersection. I think I'd like to try and keep it short. A lot of good points were made today. I'd like to just kind of focus on two. The first point is safety. This is an issue that just can't be hammered quite enough. I cross it multiple times a day to get to the grocery store by foot, by bike, by a car. I cross it to get to the bus. I cross it to with my son and my family, and I've had multiple near misses, one this week, quite frequently. And so for people to say that, you know, they don't feel like it's unsafe because they haven't experienced seems a little narrow-visioned in my opinion. So I just wanted to reiterate that the safety issue has been identified, and I'm here to kind of put a face to that. The second point I'd like to make is regarding the gateway issue, which is a very, very pertinent point to make about this proposal. And I'd just like to say that gateways aren't just about signs. Gateways are about community. And the people, as you can see here, all testifying today, are very passionate about it. This people are what make the community, and the community is what makes St. John's, and our gateway what a gateway is. Thank you.
Thank you, Albert. Carla, can we call the next three?
That would be Tom Karwacki, Joshua Leslie, and Tom Stubblefield. And they will be followed by Stan Hoff, Deshe Uisna. He already spoke, I believe. Okay, thank you.
So we have about 9 people left. So just for time check, we'll give everyone a chance to speak. Then we'll bring staff back up, and we have some questions based on the testimony. Then we'll have council deliberation to see where we want to go for those of you who are just so I'm guessing plus or minus 4 o'clock we'll start deliberations. Welcome if you'd like to begin, sir.
Hi, my name is Joshua Leslie. I'm the current land use chair for the St. John's Neighborhood Association. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to present. I want to express my support for the proposed street vacation, which will eliminate the slip lane and redesign the intersection to bring it in line with the recommendations from the St. John's Lombard Plan. There's been a lot of conversations in the neighborhood about this project. The developers have attended 4 public meetings to answer questions, and they've been really open and responsive to the community and to the community groups that have reached out with them. I've talked to a lot of people in the community about this issue. There's definitely vocal opposition from quite a few of our neighbors, but based on conversations I've had, I think there's at least as much support for redesigning the intersection. Most of the people I've talked to want the intersection to be safer. They disagree on the best way to move forward with that, but a lot of them do agree with the recommendations from the St. John's Lombard Plan, which was developed through a community-based process. Personally, I think the intersection at Lombard and Charleston is my least favorite in the neighborhood. Traffic doesn't stop as it goes from the highway, and I feel unsafe every time I cross it. I can't wait until that section becomes safer by reconfiguring the intersection and adding a traffic signal. This has been on PBOT's to-do list for years, but with the long backlog of street projects, I know it might take several more years until funding is available to make the changes. I think this is a great opportunity for the neighborhood to get publicly requested improvement made. Partnering with a developer to fund a transportation project like this is a good precedent, and I think that it should happen again moving forward. Beyond the safety of the intersection, the developer has taken measures such as the stage setbacks of the building with the different colored bricks to match the building with the community design overlay. They're incorporating plazas and have agreed to relocate the Welcome to St. John's marquee onto the property. The tree mitigation plan, which the developer has offered, adds extra trees. I believe that the combination of the relocated sign, the trees, the plaza, and the proposed aesthetics of the building will make an attractive gateway to the downtown corridor. I hope you support this vacation.
Thank you very much. And just by way of clarification, we're finished with testimony. We'll have a discussion, take up the amendment. This is an ordinance. It is not an emergency, so it will be going to a second reading next week or whenever the sponsor so indicates. So, sir. Okay.
Tom Karwacki, 7139 North McCrum. The University Park Neighborhood Association Land Use and Transportation Committee supports the vacation of this for safety reasons and because it's in consistent with the Lombard Plan. We note that the new plaza would be about the size of 2 of the Cadillacs that you usually drive in the parade in, Mr. Saltzman, plus a smart car, and possibly even a Prius. So it's fairly sizable, and it might be providing a public benefit. It's about the same size as some of the standard insurance set back there, so you can see what you can sort of get in 40 feet. So that's why we're in favor for safety and because it's consistent with the Lombard plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Welcome.
My name is Tom Stubblefield.
One second. I think you do have the authority to put conditions on the use and through a covenant to so that you don't get stuck with this issue of putting the street vacation and then suddenly it becoming redesigned. So I think that's something you're going to want to look at.
And, sir, that is the indication
we got from the
city attorney, so we're trying to get draft language as we speak. Welcome.
Hey, my name is Tom Stubblefield, and I live on Willamette Boulevard. My family home was on North Richmond Street, and I just sold the home we had for 60 years, and it's just a few hundred feet from there. I also own the St. John's Thrift Play store, was where Safeway is now. As far as the city giving up land to private, we vacated six streets in that area, thanks to the city of Portland. And at the time, we were on a growth spurt, and it was redeveloped. I own the store after that, and now it's Safeway. I've got a pretty good history on that square or on the Ivy Island. When I was 8 years old, I stood there with a safety patrol flag right in front of the old furniture store, and the traffic came around. It was dangerous then, and it's dangerous now. And
so you went to the school?
I went to school there back. I won't say when, but it's right after cars came out. It was terrible, you know.
Sometime in the 80s.
Yeah, right. So anyway, I'm on the board of the Main Street program, and we have done a lot of work on that island, and drove across Washington County getting all the plants, brought them in, UAP came in. We worked really hard. I spent the summer watering, which I got in trouble with the city, but anyway, the plants lived and the city forgot about it. So that's a good thing. The second thing is, it was Ivy Island. It had rats in there, and it took us forever. We got it cleaned up. It's gone. It looks great. But in 1978, it was a great idea. In 2016, it's not. We need to eliminate it. We're getting private money to help us. Let's go for it. It's going to save the city a lot of money. So anyway, it doesn't matter how long you've been there, if you came yesterday or in the 40s or 50s, it's still a problem. And it's a safety factor. In my second career, we restored that Signal gas station there, and we were working on it. And I saw probably the worst head-on collision I've ever seen on that blind corner. Nobody got killed. It was amazing. Yesterday, I was coming out of Main Street office, and a lady was coming across the street with her child, and it's a near miss. And it was stupid. So anyway, all in favor of vacating the island. Clean it up. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Carla, next
room. Are Stan Hoff, Shea Uisna, and Rockman Beach. And they'll be followed by Joseph Perkey, John Tepley, and Eugene Darko.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Shea Uisna. If the vacation is approved by Mr. Bellori and Mr. Bellori is given our public lands, then the union at St. John's will spill over onto Ivy Island and the slip lane. A four-story building on what is now a gateway is like building a wall where now there is a wide-open entryway. There will no longer be visibility through the trees of Ivy Island into the downtown corridor. There will no longer be a gateway into St. John's. It'll just be a corner like any other corner in Portland. Right now, our gateway works. Cars and buses are brought into our downtown via the slip lane. Vehicles are siphoned off from the traffic headed to the bridge. Based on data provided by the PBOT 2011 safety audit, we know that 42% of all cars approaching St. John's from the east utilize the Lombard slip. So the slip lane actually plays a major part in reducing traffic congestion. The safety audit suggests that without the slip lane, traffic will self-divert into residential areas to avoid the congestion on Lombard. Oh, and this is interesting. Turns out there's a second blind curve we'll need to deal with. A horizontal blind curve is what they call it, at that intersection that we're planning on changing at Jersey and Richmond. This blind curve won't be fixed by raising Ivy Island because the problem is actually the shape of the block across the street from it where the storage units sit. This explains why PBOT does not recommend putting a crosswalk at that north end of that intersection. It's too dangerous for pedestrians to cross there. Look, development is coming. We get it. In a sea of new construction of 3- and 4-story buildings, this is all the more reason to hold on to our commons, our public open green space. Cars can be slowed down as they enter the slip lane. The safety audit had many low-cost solutions that were never implemented, such as improved signage, better painted direction on the asphalt, narrowing the slip lane to calm traffic. And how about we change the speed limit to 20 miles per hour throughout the downtown? By hanging all of our safety issues onto the Lombard Slip and the blind corner at Charleston, we run the risk of throwing away so much that's really wonderful about our gateway. And if we think that all our traffic woes will go away by eliminating the slip and squaring the block, I think we're in for a rude awakening. Thank you.
Ma'am, I want to just comment. You said reduce the speed to 20. I've got streets in my neighborhood in Northeast that are marked 25. And I feel like I'm a hazard because going 25, the cars are passing me at such high frequencies. And I wish there was a better appreciation, a broader appreciation of what we mean by Vision Zero. So I applaud that comment. Sir?
Thank you very much. My name is Stan Hoff, and I have been in and out of St. John's since 1978. Currently, I live in Southeast Portland. And I can't tell you how many times that I and my friends go over to St. John's. We just love to go there because this same accolade I've heard for 20 years, St. John's has a small town feel. And I just believe that anything that contributes to its irregularities, it's so historical. There's so much that's going on. And I think with this Ivy Triangle, it would be very important just to really make sure that we totally understand the history of that little area. Because it does serve the purpose of giving that small town feel, which I really like, and it helps make St. John's a destination. And once it's gone, it's gone. And there must be some way to try to, if it does go, have things that contribute to that small town feel, because St. John's is currently, and it is, it's a destination. It's not a grid. And because it isn't a grid is one reason it has that small town feel. And that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Rockland Beach. My family's been St. John's since the 40s, and I run a business in downtown St. John's. I'm opposed to the removal of Ivy Island. I'm not going to, a lot of people have already expressed my concerns. The safety issue, that's a separate issue. People try to connect that issue with simply the part about saving Ivy Island. The traffic pattern, as I say, that's a separate issue. And I think it can be addressed. As I say, I've lived in St. John's most of my life, and I run a business dead center of St. John's. So anyway, that's my opinion, is some of these other safety issues can be addressed, but that's a different topic from simply preserving that island. That's all.
Sir, thank you very much. Carla, next three.
Are Joseph Perkey, John Tepley, and Eugene Darko. And the last person who signed up will be Philip Fenster.
And as these three gentlemen are getting seated, if there's someone in the audience that came hoping to testify and you didn't hear your name, would you please let Carla know and we'll give you a chance to testify. Welcome, and sir, would you kick us off?
Thank you, commissioners, for allowing me to testify. What I have here is over 1,000 signatures of St. John's, whose voices have never been heard and considered in the development at the Union St. John's. Throughout the entire process, there was never enough engagement to ensure the community of St. John's would be properly informed about the details and impact of the proposed plan. I have 5 reasons why I think you should vote no on vacation. Public property should remain public and not be privatized. 2, the Ivy Island parcel and the Eastern Colony parcel both have large, mature trees. The mitigation arrived at for these trees does not reflect their true value. 3, we We are told that this is based on the St. John's Lombard plan, that our community asked for this. But the site plan for the two developments are decidedly different. 4, inexpensive safety improvements that involve signage and paint and recommended by the 2011 safety audit were not implemented. Then our community is told that PBOT can't afford to improve the intersection and we must go with the Blorey plan if we want improved safety for our community. The 5th reason is that PBOT did not do a good enough job at engaging the community concerning this project. The outreach seemed to have been fully in the hands of the St. John's Main Street and the St. John's Neighborhood Association without PBOT guidance. The ensuing 4 meetings that they facilitated were essentially meetings in which the developer and the architect promoted their project. I attended 2 of them. There was no opportunity for an open discussion concerning the project and its meaning for the St. John's community by the St. John's community. A project of this importance that radically changes the face of St. John's, it needed proper public involvement. I think the process needed stronger PBOT and Planning Department presence in developing the discussion. Concerning what this corner was to look like, it specifically says in the St. John's Lombard Plan on page 86 that specific design details still need to be developed through a design engineering process with public involvement. And to Ms. Jensen, who said that I came in on this on the 11th hour, this has been since June, so I don't think that we can consider this an 11th hour. And it has been a struggle, you know, with doing this through the community. Thank you, Commissioner.
Give us your name again, please.
John Tepley.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Joseph Perkey. I've lived in St. John's for the past 13 years. I'm a business owner of an architecture firm in the center of St. John's and a parent with students at James John School nearby this proposed development. I've been deeply involved in the community ever since I've lived here, including leading the volunteer and donation-based project with DPave and AC Portland at the school to put in the soccer field and remove 8,000 square feet of asphalt there. The first time I heard about the proposed traffic change in the St. John's Lombard plan, I was interested in that. It looked like a good solution to that dangerous corner. And then in 2011, a student at my kid's school at James John got struck by a car on his way to school. That increased my interest in that project, and I joined the principal when ODOT came out to start their study of that intersection, which resulted in agreeing with the St. John's Lombard plan intersection change, which is included in this vacation project. I think that this is a great opportunity to further the Vision Zero goals with zero public dollars. And I think that the important sight lines that are spoken about in the St. John's Lombard plan are preserved with the cars coming to a right angle and seeing all the way a full block before they get to the next intersection. I would like to encourage you to consider any additional considerations, caveats, but keep a priority on the safety of our community at that intersection.
Thank you very much, sir. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me here. My name is Eugene Darko. I help run a business that's local to St. John's. I am a father, and my son attends James John Elementary as well. I believe I've seen all of you at the parade. You know about the small town character. The proposed development destroys our gateway. That's an aspect of our character. I'm asking you to save the gateway because there are solutions to this problem. A 2011 safety audit shows the slip lane works. 62 autos traveled south and 44 traveled into the business district. We've just got to slow them down. Monday night at the Neighborhood Association meeting, a member of the Safety and Livability team mentioned a 20-mile-per-hour limit like North Williams has. Or how about a 4-way stop at Charleston and Lombard? It'll be good for TriMet bus number 4 that always has to make that turn. It'll be good for the students, my son. It'll be good for walkability. And it'll be a good way to reduce speed in downtown in general. There's a lot of talk about safety. Okay, so I want to talk about the 2011 safety audit, which explains that a blind horizontal curve makes a northern crossing at the Lombard-Richmond-Jersey intersection unsafe. That's page 43. To quote, some longer-term plans have identified the possibility of reopening the northern crossing, and indeed, full movement intersections should be standard practice, as was done for the stopping sight distance evaluation of the southern crossing. A similar analysis was done for a reopened northern crossing. Conducting the same analysis but applying this to the northern crossing indicates that the more limited sight distances argues against reopening that. That's the intersection we're talking about, making it a four-way intersection, not a squared-off one, but a parallelogram, even different than a square here. So let's not destroy 9 30-foot-plus tall trees. Let's not vacate the public land. We don't have to do that. I'm asking for your vote to save the gateway to St. John's and to keep our small-town character. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Carla, who else?
The last person who signed up is Philip Fenster.
Philip, as you're coming forward, is anyone else in the audience like to be recognized? Well, sir, you have the last word.
Right on. Thank you for having me. My name is Philip Fenster, and I am a 15-year resident of St. John's. I support vacating the slipway in Ivy Island. Traveling the length of North Charleston, the intersection of North Lombard is a part of my daily bicycle commute. I find this intersection to be unnecessarily dangerous due to the inability to see traffic coming from the east and the slipway inviting motorists to glide right on through. I fear that implementing crosswalks or flashing lights would do little to slow motorists, and that the absence of pedestrians, it would be business as usual, exceeding the speed limit. At the very least, the slipway should have speed bumps. At least two speed bumps to effectively slow traffic. Over the years, I have seen great improvements to Ivy Island. I was a member of the team that removed that invasive ivy. I very much appreciate the value of plants as carbon sinks. The plantings on Ivy Island have great value as carbon sinks, and I do not take the idea of their removal lightly. I am confident that replanting as required by code would be met, but I would hope that the developer would voluntarily go beyond code in the replacement of plants in order to make the extra effort to combat climate change. I feel that the proposed public plazas create usable and inviting spaces for the community of St. John's. I do not see the vacation of the slipway as creating unacceptable traffic congestion, and if it were to increase congestion, I would encourage motorists to transition to bicycles. Regarding the proposed amendment, I support the vacation. Regarding the proposed amendment, my support of the vacation is conditional on the guarantee of the proposed plazas being included.
Sir, thank you very much. Well, that concludes the public testimony. Steve, you want to have staff come back up?
Yes, please.
We could have PBOT staff.
Maybe the applicant.
Come up and perhaps
the applicant.
And maybe represented the applicant.
Christy, would you like to come forward? Or just start with you. And Commissioner Fritz, would you like to go first?
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you, everybody, for coming today. It's very impressive how many of you were able to take time away on a Wednesday afternoon to come downtown, showing that actually it's really not that far to St. John's, and people can do it either direction. It's very accessible. And I really appreciate the passionate testimony on all sides. It's a part of a rich tradition of the St. John's neighborhood to have people disagreeing with each other. I first went there 25 years ago, and it's no different. So, and that's great. It's different folks and it's different issues, but it's always people who care a lot about your community and who are reasonable people who disagree. And so we'll now have a discussion about, is there a way forward that could find solutions that satisfied even more of the needs. Thanks to Kurt Kruger and the staff and also the applicant for looking to see, are there creative solutions that can address the St. John's Lombard plan, safety issues, still make a viable development, and satisfy many values? Because I think we all share the goal of a great gateway to St. John's that is clearly a public gateway and not a private development blocking the way into St. John's. So with all that framing my discussion, the amendment that I raised before testimony started was to make sure that in particular Plaza 1 would always remain in open space. And so I understand with these various proposals, and perhaps we could come back with something before the second reading, my latest suggestion is that perhaps we could put a public access easement on a certain distance from the curb, which there isn't currently a public access easement I can see, and that certainly needs to be part of a condition anyway. So I'm wondering whether that might be a solution that you could work on before we come back for a second reading, or if you have a different proposed solution to my concern.
Christy?
Sure. I think there are a lot of mechanisms we can use. That's one of them. The one we spoke about is that the property was subject to a design review that will be recorded against the property and requires the development not only of Plaza 1 but also of extended Plaza 2 subject to public use with no restrictions. And if there was any changes to that, which we don't anticipate at all, we'd have to go back through design review so we can carry which we don't anticipate, but we can carry that condition forward and articulate in this street vacation that should there be any changes, which again, we don't think there will be, that there would be a public review process to ensure that those changes comport with this discussion and the desire for the plazas. An easement is another way. There's a lot of different mechanisms. I think what it's important for me to communicate is that my client is all in, and we recognize that the beauty of this project is that those plazas are public and stay public.
I appreciate that. Just occasionally, we have had developers whose plans change. They
yes.
sell the property. This is our one chance to
sure.
have influence
sure.
over the public right-of-way. I'm disappointed that it wasn't a Type 3 design review because I'm concerned about some of the elements of the design, particularly showing the proposed site plan, the encroachment of the building into the vacated area. It really doesn't seem to comport with the St. John's Lombard plan that this corner was envisioned to be more open in the plan. So what is happening?
Yeah.
It says future restaurant here. What is this lower portion designed to be?
So there's ground floor retail, and the idea is that it's flexible so that it can be broken up into smaller components based on the idea to have more local and small-scale retail. And the piece that I would respond to is that the St. John's plan is one thing, and then the design guidelines and development standards for that particular roadway is another thing. And so in order to comply with the building line standards, a certain percentage of that building had to be within a particular distance. And what we asked for to expand the plaza area was actually for a modification, a departure from what was otherwise required under the code, so that we could back that building off as much as possible. And there was a really robust discussion about that during the design review process. And then the building is articulated with varied setbacks in order to soften the edge as much as possible. The other thing in the St. John's plan is that the plazas are a bow tie, and the concept plan was based on the buildings that were there at the time the plan was adopted. So they're shown in the building footprints that were there at that time, and of course it doesn't necessarily anticipate that that particular building in that configuration would be there in the future.
Thank you for that. You're actually raising a chicken and egg problem, in that the design review has been approved assuming that the street vacation would happen. If we say no to the street vacation, then it has to go back to our previous plan, which would seem to be a shame. But we can't now modify the design, at least that's my understanding. I need some information from the city attorney. Can the council at this point ask for a rounded corner on that building or something else? And that's something maybe you can get back to us before the second reading
or
continuance of this hearing. My other concern is raised by the owner of the Colony, and you mentioned that the
yes.
design review is conditioned on the plaza being improved according to the plan. it really seems like that plaza is a gateway to this development and not like a accessory to the colony. And I need to state an ex parte contact. I was at the gathering about 6 months ago, which was held in the colony along with fire bureau staff, police staff. I don't remember if the transportation staff were all participating in this ex parte contact, but it's not an ex parte decision. It's, you know, we're not
no
supposed
objection.
To talk. Talk. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's a street vacation, so in some instances where we're acting as judges, we're not supposed to have contact with the parties. This is a little different, but